You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Bless you, Jesus. Get you, Butch. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad he made a way? When the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and Jesus cried out, it is finished. How many know he meant exactly what he said? He meant exactly what he said. And we are still, I believe, 2,000 years later, realizing and coming to grips with exactly what he said. Amen. Exactly how finished it really was at the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. I was thinking as we were singing the song, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory. And I picked up my Bible and I went back to Isaiah chapter 6 and looked at that verse. And the scripture says, and the seraphim and the cherubim were in the most holy place, and they were crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Hallelujah. And the next verse is Isaiah saying, he's crying out, woe is me. Woe is me. Hallelujah. I mean, why the cherubims are calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The prophet Isaiah is still crying out, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I am undone. Hallelujah. But the scripture says, but the angel took a coal and put it to his lips. Hallelujah. I mean, no, my desire is today that the coal of the fire of the Lord would so touch our lips that we cannot cry out, woe is me, but all we can do is cry out, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Hallelujah. Because I believe the more we cry out, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with his glory, the less time we'll be able to cry out, woe is me, and for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can't praise and whine at the same time. You can't praise and complain at the same time. You can't praise and grumble at the same time. And sometimes you just got to get up and pick out which one you're going to do for the day and just say, you know what, I'm just going to choose to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord today. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be undone. I'm not going to be a man of unclean lips today. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to speak defeat or condemnation. I'm just going to keep crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord to my situation until I see all my earth filled with his glory, till I see God manifest his presence so in my earth, hallelujah, that all I can cry is holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, his desire is for us to begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth, everybody say the whole earth, not just your space or your corner of it, not just America. Hallelujah. I mean, no, God's not American. He's not Jewish either. He's not Gentile. He's just God. The scripture said God is a spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. I think one of our greatest faults is we preach an American gospel. We think God only speaks America, is only moved by America's economy, only touched by what crisis is going on in America. How many know 3/4 of the world today would like to be where you are? While we're crying out, woe is me, 3/4 of the world are crying out, I'd just like to be where they are. Amen. Hallelujah. We just need to sometimes get a different perspective. Sometimes we need to get a different view from where we are, because even on our worst days, there's still good days. Now, I'm not taking away from anybody's bad days, don't get me wrong, but most of the time, our bad days are not really bad days. Hallelujah. You know, Dan and I will talk sometimes. I'll say, you know what, honey, this isn't a bad day. There's some things that are real bad things that happen sometimes in our world and in our earth, but in the scheme of things, these aren't bad days. We're very blessed people. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we have so much to be thankful for. Such a privilege to be in his house. Such a privilege to be in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been great having an opportunity to do some traveling this summer and to be in different places and different houses. And we've been so blessed by every place that we've gone. There's been such a great spirit there and great spirit of worship, and the word has been good. And so we've been touched and encouraged by all of those that we have been in contact with and places that we've been. But my heart is here at Word of Deliverance. Amen. And it's good to be here and be home. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking. I hope I'm not boring you. I hope you're getting something out of the series that I've been doing out of Leviticus chapter 21. But it's just been what the Lord has dropped in my heart these last series of weeks. So if you've been out some of the series of weeks, you may want to get the CDs and catch up. Or if you don't know that we do always have CDs available of our services every Sunday. If you need CDs, all you've got to do is let Miss Carlin back there know. She does an awesome job of taking care of our CD ministry and seeing to it that our CDs are sent out, and see to it that if you've given her a request, don't expect her to have it after service today, because she has a life and things to do also. But she will see to it that you have CDs, and she also runs our media for us up here. And so I thank her today for Aaron Steve for what they do and helping in this house. And so that is available to you if you need those CDs. If you are a little more technical savvy and you want to go on our website, Robert and Kelly keep our website with the latest up-to-date post on our podcast the best they can. So if you do podcast, our sermons are on podcast, and you can get them throughout the week, either on your computer, your phone, whatever it is that you listen to. And so those sermons are available. And we are hearing from people all over who are finding our website somehow, finding our podcast, and hearing the word. And Dan got a phone call this week from a lady who had went on and was struggling, having some struggles in her life, found the podcast, found a sermon, it ministered to her, called and wanted prayer. And so he was able to have prayer with her and minister to that. The gospel is reaching the ends of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Lynn and Joyce have a website, have lots of information, lots of CDs, books available. The show is online, channel, church, it's the church channel. So whatever you get the church channel on, whether it's Dish or Direct or whatever you get it on, they are on the church channel every Friday at 12:30. And now they're on their Saturdays at 12:30. So if you miss them on Friday, you can get them on Saturday. And again, it's reaching people all over. Hallelujah. And I believe that it is a message that is crying, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with his glory. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, we ministered on the man with the withered hand in the series of dealing with Leviticus chapter 21 and the portion of scripture where God speaks to Moses and gives him a list of all the people who are disqualified from the priesthood. You can go ahead and bring that scripture up for me, Carlin, if you want to. But how many know the scripture in the hand with in the sermon with the man with the withered hand? God speaks to the man. How many know he's there basically as a plan anyway? He's in the midst of the scribes and Pharisees and the scriptures, seeing what they will do and how they will respond to the man who has a withered or a crippled hand. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus sees him, how many are glad that God is moved with compassion? Yeah. Hallelujah. We have a compassionate God. We have a God who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is a compassionate God. And the scripture says, and when he was moved with compassion, he said to the man, "Stand forth." Hallelujah. Step up to the plate. Get up on your feet, because today is your day. Hallelujah. And I mean, God began to restore the hand of a withered man that had no outreach, that had no contact, that had no touch, that had no ability to reach out with his hand or in his life. Hallelujah. And God began to restore that. And we talked about how the fivefold ministry, the hand sometimes is a good symbol or a good symbolism of the fivefold ministry and the gifts that were given unto men. Amen. And we are thankful that God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Jesus. How many know we have those gifts in the body? How many are thankful for those gifts? How many believe that we still have those gifts in operation? The reason I know that is because we've not all come into the unity of the faith. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we still need edifying in the body of Christ. Amen? We still need perfecting of the saints. We still need, and not so much perfecting of the saints, but the saints to come to the understanding of the perfection that comes through Christ in them. Yep. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have the ministry of the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. They are gifts to us. Hallelujah. We cannot do without them. Hallelujah. But you know, I shared the scripture Sunday out of Timothy where it says, and I will lift one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt. Hallelujah. And I've always preached that from the context that when I'm going through a struggle in my life, or I'm hurting, or you know, I'm having difficulties, or I'm going through something hard in my life, that I just need to stand up and say, you know what, I'm just going to lift one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt, and I'm going to praise my way through it. I'm going to allow my worship. I'm going to cry, holy, holy, holy. You know, and I believe that, and I believe that's an effective way. I mean, sometimes you just got to lift your hands in a situation. Don't throw them up and surrender. Don't throw them up and say, I quit. But throw them up and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Sometimes you just got to get a posture of praise. All the time you got to get a posture of praise. Hallelujah. I mean, the power of praise will lift you out of a situation that looks dark and looks just like it's in despair. And it'll bring you to a higher level. Amen. But what I believe God wants to do in this day and hour is not just even in our own individual life where we lift one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt, but I believe the fivefold ministry is being elevated to a place where it's a hand that's going to cry out without wrath and without doubt to the body of Christ and begin to minister something out of a heart of praise and worship and out of something that's already done. I mean, no, God's hand is not one that's a hand of wrath to us. It's not a hand of destruction. It's not a hand, you know, that is harsh to us, but it's a hand of faith and life. Hallelujah. And we can lift one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt. How many know there must be a fivefold ministry who lifts the hands and says, God's wrath has been satisfied at Calvary. Amen. How many are glad this morning that His wrath was satisfied in the person of His Son, of Jesus Christ? Every anger that God had, He took it out on Jesus at the cross. So we can lift the hands of ministry without wrath. We can lift the hands of ministry without doubt. Hallelujah. How many know when Thomas said, except I can see the nail prints in his hands, and except I can thrust my hand in his side, I cannot believe. Anybody in here ever had a problem believing before? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. How many, sometimes you say, Lord, I just need to see some demonstration of your power. I believe, you know, the man cried out, Lord, I believe, but help now my unbelief. It's not my belief I'm having trouble with. It's my unbelief that I'm having trouble with. And he said, Lord, I must see the nail prints in your hands. And Jesus was faithful to meet Thomas where he was. Hallelujah. And you know, we've given him the title of Doubting Thomas. For 2,000 years, we've called him Doubting Thomas. Because he said, Lord, I need to see something to believe. How many know there's a whole lot of doubting Thomases? But I want to say to you this morning, don't let one moment of unbelief define you for the rest of your life. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. And when Thomas needed to see that nail prints, Jesus was faithful to meet him. He said, Thomas, put her there. Put your hand in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Hallelujah. You are blessed because you see, Thomas, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Hallelujah. I mean, no, those were those even in the old covenant that did not see and yet believed. How many are glad for the prophet Isaiah that prophesied in a day when everybody thought he was a false prophet, but he declared a day that he would not see in the natural, but he declared a day that would come through the Messiah. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he did not see, and yet he still believed. Hallelujah. There were those of us who did not see maybe the natural nail prints, but yet we can still believe and say, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. So I believe that there is a ministry that's lifting one hand without wrath and one hand without doubt. Because how many know the nail prints will always remove the doubt? If you're having doubt in your night, and if you are having doubt in your life this morning, look at the nail prints. Look at the cross. Look at what Jesus did for you. Amen. And have faith in that of what He's done. Hallelujah. And so the scripture out of Leviticus, yeah, you can go ahead and bring that one up first, and I'll just read it real quick, and we'll go on. I don't want to bore you with it. I don't want to detain this any longer, but this is what I felt like the Lord has put in my heart for these series of Sundays, and I don't know if we'll go much farther with it, but the pretense of this scripture is that He speaks to Aaron, telling him everybody who's disqualified for being in the priesthood or disqualified from entering into the holy place or the most holy place. Now, you have to understand the tabernacle of Moses, that there was an outer court where there was the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and that was where the sacrifice came, and that's where all the general folk came. They could come and bring the sacrifice. But how many know to enter into the holy place and the most holy place, that was set aside and reserved for the priesthood of Aaron? Hallelujah. You had to be sanctified. You had to be in the right stand. You had to be of the right bloodline before you could go in where the incense was, the bread, the table of showbread, the bread of his face, the altar of incense, the candlelight. Hallelujah. Before you could go into the most holy place where there was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, where the very Shekinah of God would reside and the glory of God would reside in the most holy place. How many know that was reserved for the priesthood? And only the priesthood that were without spot or blemish or any issues in their life. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Leviticus 21:17-18 says, for whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken footed or broken handed, or crooked back, another translation said hunchback, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come not to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come not to offer the bread of his God. Let me just say this morning that if that is the sermon that you are still hearing, if that's the priesthood you're still under, you're under an old covenant, old order priesthood. Amen? Hallelujah. And it seems as if 2,000 years or however many years removed from, well, longer than that, thousands of years removed from this message that God gives to Moses concerning the Levitical priesthood, we are still in some circles, in some areas, still preaching that same sermon. We preach more about the things that disqualify you from being in the presence of God than we do about the things that qualify you if you're not careful. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know Jesus said, I came not to do away with the law, I came to fulfill the law. The things that Jesus came and did in demonstration, he did in completion and fulfillment of the law of Moses. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he came along, and what Jesus did, he gets up to preach his first sermon. And I shared this, I'm trying to get where I'm going this morning, but if not, we'll get it next Sunday. Anyway, I shared this a little bit the other night at Jeremy's. But you know, when Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, and the heavens opened, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. The Father is well pleased in you today. Immediately after that, the scripture says he's driven into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. How many know the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness? Jesus spent 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. And the scripture says he goes into the wilderness to be tested. And you know, I always thought about that scripture. Man, Jesus must have been really hungry, because the devil comes to him and says, if you be God, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You know, and how hard it must have been for Jesus to, you know, endure that. And then I think about, this is the man who created that stone. And this is the man who, out of the dust of the earth, created man and breathed in him. And man became a living soul. And this is the man who takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he feeds 5,000 people. I don't really think he's tempted by that. What I really think is probably happening is the enemy is offering him the option to remain an old order prophet and stay in a covenant or a mentality or a ministry that tries to take stones and turn them to bread. He takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and offers him all the temples that he can see in the high places of the temple. How many know he offers him that religious system of the day? He takes him to the high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he offers him. How many know Moses went to Mount Sinai, but Jesus went to Mount Zion? He went to Mount Calvary. Hallelujah for you. He said, we have become the new Zion, the new city of our God. Hallelujah. So I don't really believe Jesus is tempted so much by fame or fortune, because he already had the affirmation of his Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And the enemy comes to him and says, if you be the Son of God, turning stone, if you be the Son of God. How many know Jesus just simply had to understand, you didn't hear what my Father just said out of the heavens, because my Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. How many know when you know the Father is well pleased with you, there's some affirmation that comes with that. There's some empowerment that comes with that. And I, you know, I think we need, I had a minister tell me the other day, he said, you know, he was dealing with a situation and he said, I told the lady, he said, tell your son that the Lord loves him. She said, well, I did tell him that. She said, then tell him that the Lord is accepting. But sometimes we can believe that the Lord loves us, but it's harder for us to believe that he accepts us. Hallelujah. And so we've been accepted into the beloved today. Jesus comes along, preaches out of the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. He preaches the message of the gospel and says, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And then I believe he systematically goes along out of the book of Leviticus and begins to restore back everyone who is disqualified, who is blemished, who seems broken, that the book of Leviticus had excluded from the most holy place. Jesus goes back and lays his hand on them and heals their bruises, heals their brokenness, heals their blemishes, heals their afflictions, amen, and accepts them as who they are. Hallelujah. It's interesting to me that Jesus, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I come to call the sinners to repentance. Those who are whole do not need a physician. Hallelujah. Jesus came to seek and to save that which had been lost. You need to thank him this morning that you got to come into the most holy place. You got to thank him this morning that you came into the holy place, that you were able to see. You know, Jesus came along and said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread. I am the sacrifice. I am the incense. I am the mercy seat. I am the blood sprinkling. I am the very presence of God in the earth. You didn't have to come through any kind of inspection this morning to see if you were worthy to enter into the holy place. You got to come by reason of him who was holy, him who was worthy, him who was sanctified. So it's not about my blemishes today. It's not about my insufficiencies. It's not about, you know, it's not about all the things that are wrong with me. Hallelujah. How many know if we just maybe just start telling people what's right about them? Because there's probably a whole lot more right about you than there is wrong about you. Hallelujah. And if we just quit beating ourselves up over what we think is our unworthiness. Hallelujah. Don't raise your hand, but anybody in here ever felt unworthy before? Felt like you weren't worthy of his presence. You weren't worthy to operate in the gifts. You weren't worthy to be in the most holy place. You can hang out on the outer court, but you're just not worthy to step into what God really has, or that fullness of what God has. And so you hold back and you draw back thinking, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not righteous enough. I got blemishes. I'm bowed over. I'm blind. I'm crooked. I'm dwarfed. I'm broken. Hallelujah. I mean, when Jesus purchased the potter's field with 30 pieces of silver, he bought back all but the broken vessels that had been discarded. Hallelujah. So if you felt broken this morning, Jesus paid the ransom for you. Hallelujah. I want to go to Mark chapter 1, 40 through 45. And the one I want to deal with today is scabs. He said those who were scabbed or had scurvy. That was a motley crew he described in the book of Revelation, or book of Leviticus. Hallelujah. And I don't think that Jesus is so much, you know, I'm not talking so much about your own physical ailments today. I believe those can be healed by the blood too. But how many know sometimes it's harder to heal the condition of our mind than it is to heal the condition of our body? I've always said before, I would much rather my body be hurting than my mind. And if you've never struggled with that, or if you've never been through that, you won't understand that statement. But if you've ever dealt with torment of your mind, depression, oppression, struggling in those areas of your body, if you've ever went through that, you'll say, I'll take a broken leg anytime, or I'll take physical ailments because I know how to fix those. I know how to put a Band-Aid on. I know how to take an aspirin for that. But when it's your mind that's struggling, when you're trying to figure out who you are, you're just trying to get through daily life and you're struggling with your emotions and depression and oppression and things of the mind. How many know sometimes that can be quite a battle to fight? Absolutely. Hallelujah. And people who look at you think, well, you look fine. You seem fine. because most of the time you spend all your life trying to hide behind the mask and the precious Jesus face. Because if I tell anybody you're hurting, then maybe they'll think I'm weak. Maybe they'll think I'm crazy. Maybe they'll think I've lost my mind. I'm not the only one in here this morning. That's how I know that.
Hallelujah.
But I know sometimes you just got to be vulnerable. And say, Lord, I need you right here, right now, right where I am. Because weary does not mean weak. You need to hear that this morning. Weary does not mean weak. There's times in your life you may struggle. There's times in your life you may battle with things of the mind. How many know sometimes there's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high place? I don't think that's talking about demons and devils we're fighting out there. I believe the principalities and the battles of our mind that we fight are far harder struggles than our physical battles are. Amen. I've had both my legs broke. I know what it is to heal a broken leg. I know what sprains are like. I've had surgery. I've had injuries. Amen. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's the wounds and the hurts that you can't see. How many know a bruise is an inner wound, an inner healing that you only see the evidence of, but you don't really see the deep down condition of what's there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I meet people all over that are struggling with those same things. And most of the time people are just afraid to say, I'm hurting and I'm struggling because I'm a Christian and I should be stronger and I should know how to do all this or handle all of this, but I just don't know how to. Amen? And I don't know. I don't know if it's worse sometimes for women than men. I won't even say that because there are some things that physically in our body, amen, cyclically that we go through, that hormonal thing sometimes. And, you know, I'll tell the Lord sometimes, Lord, you got to talk louder than my hormones today because they're screaming pretty loud. Amen. I'll preach like this if you want me to. I'll just preach to myself. I'll say, Lord, speak to me today because anybody else in here with me today? Sometimes you just got to clear the cobwebs. You just got to clear the junk out of your mind and say, I'm not crazy. I'm not forsaken. I'm not lost, but I know him who is my healer. Hallelujah. Because the scripture declares, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So whatever your hurting is today, whatever your struggle is, give it to God and quit beating yourself up over it. Don't hang yourself over one failure. How many know Judas went out and hung himself out over one failure? But if he'd have waited, he'd have found out that the Lord's hanging was his hanging and that he was wounded for me. He was bruised for me. He was chastised for me. He got my whipping. He got my bruising. He got my wounding. And by his stripes, I was healed at the cross of Calvary. For every struggle that I would ever face, every bruise, every open, hidden wound, it was taken care of at the cross of Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I have learned to just trust the Lord. I've learned to just think, Lord, this too shall pass. I love when the Bible says, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Hallelujah. There's some things that we just don't have to let come to stay. There's some things we just have to know it's come to pass. Hallelujah. And so the struggles of our mind are every bit as strong, maybe even stronger, than the things that we struggle with in our mind. Amen. If you struggle with inferiority, if you struggle with blame, if you struggle with shame, if you struggle with unworthiness in your life, I'm telling you this morning, you're in a good place. Because no longer are you disqualified under a Levitical priesthood. You are not under a the house of Levi, a Levitical priesthood this morning. You are under a ministry of Melchizedek, priesthood who comes bearing bread and wine. That bread and wine is his broken body that was broken for you. It is the life. It is the substance of God. It is his body and his blood that heals every wound, every insufficiency in your life. Amen. Can you receive that this morning? Hallelujah. Well, in Mark 1, verse 40 through 45, and it says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, let me just pause for a moment and tell you, under the old order, covenant, under the Old Testament, if you were a leper, you were put outside the camp. You were not allowed to stay in the camp. You had to stand afar off. I believe it's Leviticus chapter 13. If you want to go check me out, make sure I'm preaching right. It says that they would be put outside the camp. They were unclean in case they would be contagious. There was a whole lot of different kinds of leprosy. So if you look at it, it would just go on and on. And it was just a nasty, disgusting disease. Not only did it excommunicate you, not only did it put you outside the camp, and understand there was not any Salvation Army outside the camp that came and fed you while you were hungry. Most of the time they lived in the garbage dump or the refuse piles so that there would be scraps enough for them to eat because they were not allowed to come into the city. There was not provision. Not only were you excommunicated, you left your family, you didn't have provision, you were sick and hurting, and at times if you had severe forms of leprosy, your limbs could fall off, your toes, your fingers, and your nose could fall off. You were in a whole heap of hurt. And beyond that, when you got in that condition, you put a cloth over your face and you would walk around like this. And if anybody would come near to you, you would cry out, unclean, unclean. Hallelujah. Now, leprosy also became known as the disease of sin because they believed that if you had the disease of leprosy, there was probably some kind of sin or sickness, or there was a sin in your body or something that you had profaned God. And so that's why you were cursed with leprosy. And some of the reason why they thought that was because when Miriam made fun of her sister-in-law, God smote her with leprosy. So watch out when you make fun of the in-laws. That's your word of wisdom for the day. How many know she spoke out against Moses' wife? And she spoke out against Moses' authority. How many know sometimes the hardest people to respect is those who are closest to us? Miriam and Aaron did not respect Moses as the leader of them and said, what do you think? He gave him all the authority? And she didn't like her sister-in-law, so she spoke out against Moses' wife. And the scripture says, and God smote her with leprosy until Moses prayed for her and she was reestablished. Uzziah was struck with leprosy because he had gone into the holy place and had profaned the tabernacle, and that was only supposed to be for the place of the priest. And so because he had profaned it, God smote him with leprosy. So leprosy became to be known as the sickness of sin. In other words, if you got leprosy, you must have had sin in your life. So, not only do you leave your family, not only are your limbs going to fall off, not only are you going to eat out of the dump pile, not only are you going to cry out unclean, but now probably everybody thinks it's because you got sin in your life, and there is no good day when you got leprosy. Amen? Because you had to cry out unclean, because if anybody touched you, now they are unclean, and they've got to go through a ritual separation and have to be made clean before they can enter back into the council or the congregation of the people. Can you say bad day? Hallelujah. But there's a man in Mark, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I say that to you this morning because I want you to understand the desperation of this man when he comes to Jesus. When he says to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Hallelujah. How many know this man is in desperate situation? He's got some real issues in his life. He's having a bad day. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes we come and people come to God in desperation, but we don't understand always how desperate they are. He said, Lord, I know that you can make me clean. I know that you can make me whole. I know you can make me worthy. I know you can make me acceptable. I know you can reestablish me back to my house. I know you can put my limbs back together. I know you can cause me to allow to be acceptable among people, not just my physical body. How many know this man's got a whole lot of things going on in his life? Mind, soul, body, and spirit. But I know, Lord, that if you will, you can make me whole. How many know he's got spots? He's got some blemishes. And he's not accepted. Verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion. How many are glad that we serve a God of compassion today? A God who can be touched. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, if we look out of this, look at this out of the book of Matthew, we would find out this is the first miracle Jesus does after he comes down from the mount, after he gives the Beatitudes. On the mountain, when he gives the Beatitudes, he talks about the law, but he comes along and says, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this, that if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills all the law and the prophets. He also says, I did not come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. Every jot and every tittle. How many know Jesus took upon him everything that was demanded of the law and took it to the cross of Calvary? He fulfilled every part of the law. What he does in demonstration after preaching that, comes down out of the mountain, and there's a man that's moved with that comes to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. He touched him and said, be thou clean. The leper, the one who was contagious, the one who was outside the camp, the one who had his lip covered and walked around crying out, unclean, unclean. How many know he had to stop long enough from crying out, unclean, unclean, for him to cry out and say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. If thou wilt, you could make me clean. How many know sometimes you got to stop crying out long enough, unclean, unclean, to cry out for mercy and say, Lord, if you would just make me clean, I know that you could fix every situation in my life. Please, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to stop crying out our uncleanness, our sicknesses, our diseases, and all of our inabilities long enough to say, Lord, just please have mercy on me. Because if you would have mercy on me, I know that you could make me whole. Yep. Hallelujah. And Jesus, with everything that the law says, do not touch him, or you're going to be made unclean. Hallelujah. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Hallelujah. He touches him. Hallelujah. I mean, we have a touchable high priest. We have a God who is moved with compassion. We have a God who's more concerned about people and about healing and about wholeness than he is about what the law demands. Hallelujah. And how many know the scripture says when Jesus touches somebody, you do not have the power to make him unclean, but he has the power to make you every whit whole. Can I tell you this morning, it's only by crying out, it's only by touching him, it's only realizing that he has the power and the virtue. Jesus was not afraid of the woman who had an issue of blood, but she was afraid to touch him. She said, if I just touch his skirt, nobody will even know, nobody will be the wiser of it. And if by chance that in the healing power of the rabbi's shawl there just might be some healing ointment, I just could be made whole today. And she reached out and touched him, and when she did, the scripture says that Jesus stops the procession, opens it up, and says, who touched me? And she, for fear of being revealed, lays there crouching in fear. How many know sometimes we lay there crouching in fear, thinking that God has opened things up and is going to curse us or you know, stone us by virtue of the law because we've done something out of our uncleanness by trying to approach him. But Jesus stops it and says, who touched me? Because I felt something today. I felt somebody reach out. I felt virtue flow out of me. Can I tell you the virtue that flows out of him is always greater than the issues that you have in your life and the flow of things that seem like they would make you unclean. His flow is always greater than your issues. And the scripture says she was made every whit whole because she dared to make a bold move and step outside of her box and say, I'm going to dare break the law today because I'm desperate for change. I'm desperate for healing. I'm desperate to be made whole. Hallelujah. How many know this man is desperate? I'm desperate for healing. I'm desperate for connection. I'm desperate for fellowship. I'm desperate to be legitimate. I'm desperate to be validated. I'm desperate to just have God do something great in my life. He didn't come to touch Jesus, but Jesus came to touch him. Hallelujah. Jesus touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Next verse. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Hallelujah. Verse 43. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony, not to you, but a testimony to them that I have come to fulfill the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. I have come to make you whole. Don't tell anybody. Just keep it to yourself, but go show the priest and offer for them the cleansing that the law requires of you, for a testimony unto them. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Don't tell anybody that you got healed today. Just keep it to yourself. Go tell the priest. Do what you got to do there and go your way. But the scripture says he couldn't hold it in. Sister Wilda, he could not do it. I can't keep it quiet. I can't be silent about it. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we have a hard time getting people to speak up and say anything. When you say, go ahead, give glory, give praise. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Just keep this quiet. Because once you let it go, people are going to hear. And people are going to come from everywhere to receive just what you've got. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, just keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody. And I wonder if Jesus is not using reverse psychology on him. You know, just don't tell him. You know how it is when you tell people, I got a secret, but don't tell anybody. Once that secret leaves your lips, it's not a secret anymore. Because you know what they do? He goes to him and says, I got a secret, but don't tell anybody, okay? And then this person says, I got a secret, but don't tell anybody. Guess what? Everybody knows your secret. So the only way to keep a secret is don't tell anybody. Maybe that's the best way to spread the gospel. Say, look, I got some good news for you. I want to tell you about Jesus, but don't tell anybody. Because that people are just, once the moment you tell them, don't tell anybody, they're so compelled to tell somebody that the message is going to get around. Hallelujah. But Jesus said to him, just go show yourself to the priest and go, don't tell anybody. And the scripture says, and he makes it noised abroad, and he tells them of all the great things, the healing of his leprosy. Let me tell you what. Folks are going to notice if you've had leprosy and you've been excommunicated from your family. Like maybe there's a missus back home. Maybe there's some kids and some family back home. And all of a sudden you're healed. You've been pronounced clean by the priest. You can go back to being the person you used to be back home. Somebody's going to notice that you got a healing. Somebody's going to know that you've had an encounter with Jesus. Somebody's going to know something took place in your life. If your toes and your fingers had fallen off and your nose had turned white, there's a good chance that somebody's going to notice that something good has taken place in your life. Good chance you may not even have to open your mouth and say it. Good chance people are going to know by the way you act, by the way you look, by the way you introduce yourself, that you've been in the presence of Jesus. You've had an encounter with the Messiah, and he has made me every whit whole. Hallelujah. Because he was not afraid to touch me. He was not afraid that my touching him would make him unclean. I mean, you know, sometimes we come into the house of the Lord and think, well, you know, you don't know where I was last night. You don't know what I've been doing. You don't know what's in my life. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know my secrets. Well, can I tell you, I don't need to know your secrets. There is a secret place, but it's called the secret place of the Most High. And the scripture says, I will abide under the shadow of the wings of that secret place. That secret place is called the propitiation. It's called a mercy seat. Your secrets are safe with him. I don't care what you did yesterday. You're here today. And if you'll touch him, if you've got issues, if you've got spots, he can make you every whit whole. He is an approachable God. He is a touchable God. Your presence isn't going to make him unclean. It's not going to mess up his day. It's not going to mess up his schedule. But if you'll dare to allow him to touch you today, change can come into your life. Hallelujah. Anybody need a touch of Jesus today? Hallelujah. 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 There were 10 lepers that stood on the outside and they cried out to Jesus to be made whole. And this time Jesus simply speaks the word. See what I love about Jesus? He never does anything the same way twice. I'm kind of like that. And it seemed like I never do it exactly the same way twice. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. But Jesus never does anything the same way twice. Sometimes he speaks the word. Sometimes he touches. Sometimes he spits in the mud and puts it on the eyes. Sometimes he just speaks the word. Sometimes he asks them, do you want to be made whole? Hallelujah. But he's got 10 lepers and they want to be made whole. And Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And the scripture said, and in the going, they received their healing. How many know sometimes we can hear a word, we can hear a prophetic word, we can hear the word of God spoken in our life, but if we don't ever get in the going, if we don't ever step into what God is speaking, how many know sometimes, and I'm kind of in that area of my life right now, God is speaking some things to me. I just got to figure out how to step into the going and how to meet God. Say, God, I'm going to make one step in front of the other. I'm going to trust you that in the going, you're going to meet me where I am, and you're going to make me every whit whole. You're going to, I mean, no, sometimes you got to make the first step. Sometimes you got to step out of the crowd you're hanging with. If you look to your left and you look to your right and everybody around you looks exactly in the same condition you are in and they're hurting and broken and fallen, maybe it's time for you to step out of where you are and say, I'm going to make a bold move today. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. Am I going? I'm going to go until I see God do something in my life. I'm going to go. I'm going to respond to the voice of the Lord. And am I responding? God meets me, and all of a sudden in their journey, they happen to look down and look at each other and said, hey, you look better than you did yesterday. Hey, something's happening in you. There's healing taking place in you. Something's being stirred up in you today. I don't see spots in you. I don't see brokenness. I don't see limbs. I don't see uncleanness. Something's happening in you today. And all of a sudden they realize God's doing something in the midst of them. God's bringing a healing. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and one of them has an attitude of gratitude. I mean, no, some days you got to get up and have an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's Sister Wilder Jenny this morning said, we have so much to be thankful for. I thank him for my health. I thank him for my home. I thank him for my family. If you have an attitude of gratitude, you won't grumble your way through your day. But they said one of them, when he realized the power and the beauty of what God did in his life, he turned around and he come back and said, thank you. Thank you that you have made me whole. Thank you. I can go home today. Thank you. I don't have to cry out unclean anymore. Thank you that you met me here. Thank you that you're not scared of leprosy. Thank you that something is happening to me. Thank you that I was willing to take the first step and step out. And in the way, you have made me every whit whole. Jesus said to him, But weren't there 10? And where are the other 9 who received the same thing you did? Hallelujah. How many know how powerful it is, our praise and our thanksgiving unto Him? How powerful it is to stop and pause for a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for where I am. Thank you for what you have brought in my life. If you're seeing your spots removed, if you viewed yourself as leprous, if you viewed yourself outside the camp as unclean, if you've tormented yourself with thoughts other than what the thoughts of the Father are to you, you need to put one foot in front of the other today and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's change happening in my life. Thank you that I'm not the person I used to be. Thank you that in my journey, thank you that in my walk, thank you that in every step of my life, you're changing me from glory to glory, from precept to precept, and here a little and there a little. How many can say this morning, I'm not the person that I used to be. I might not be everything I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be by the grace of God, because I decided to put one foot in front of the other. How many know there were 4 lepers that were sitting outside of the city? And there was a famine in Samaria. And they were being besieged by the Syrians. And there's 4 lepers sitting there. Now let me tell you, they got leprosy. And we done talked about all that. And they're also in the middle of a famine. So even the dump isn't providing too much food, because everybody inside the city's starving. They're boiling each other's kids and eating them. How many know that's a bad day? You read the scriptures. And they're sitting on the outside of the city, and they got leprosy. And one of them looks at the one and says, what are we going to do? Every time I preach this, I think about that line out of the Jungle Book. Yeah. Baloo the bear and them, all this. Then the vultures are sitting in the trees. They say, what you going to do? The other one says, I don't know. What you going to do? I don't know. What you going to do? Now, don't stop that again. They're sitting there trying to figure out what to do. And one of them says, why sit we here until we die? If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city where the enemy is, we're going to die. The worst thing that's going to happen out of this, we're going to die. But we're going to be out of our misery. Because I can't die here. One of them makes the decision or the choice to say, I'm not dying here. I'm not staying here. I'm going to take my chances by going into the city. And what I find out is when I get up and go into the city, my enemy has already heard a sound that sounded a whole lot like it is finished, and my enemy has fled. And in the city, all of a sudden, I find out there's provision for me. And it said, then they started to eat, and they started to gather up gold and silver, which I don't know why they did that, because I don't know where they're going with gold and silver. I'm going to eat. If there's a famine in the land, and I've been living at the dump pile, I'm going to eat whatever I can find to eat. And what they then realize is the enemy's been defeated. They said, you know what? We can't keep this for ourselves. Holler to the porter. Tell the porter, hey, guys, our enemy is defeated. There is provision in the city. Come and get it, because our enemy has already fled. I come to tell you this morning, come and get what you want from the city of the Most High God, because our enemy has already heard a sound. He's already fled. He's already left the camp. We don't have to deal with him anymore. I'm not going to die anymore. I'm going to live. I choose not to die. I choose to live. Hallelujah. In closing, there was a little maiden in Syria, and she was held captive in the house of a man named Naaman. Hallelujah. But she had some insight. She had some prophetic vision in her. She said, would to God my master knew a man named Elisha, because he could cure him of his leprosy. Elijah. How many know sometimes you might overlook the little maiden along the way, but it may just be the prophetic voice you need to hear that brings healing and provision in your life. Hallelujah. And he goes, listens to her. The servant said, hey, I heard something about this guy that could make you whole of this leprosy. How many know Naaman was the only person in the scriptures until the time of Jesus that was ever healed of leprosy? He could make you whole. And so he comes to the man of God and he says, Naaman, he's the host of the Syrian army. He's a man of importance. He's got position. He's got power. He's got presence. And he comes up and he thinks that Elijah is going to come out and do some little move over him and make him every whit whole and bow down to him, the great man of God. And he sends back word. He said, just go tell him to dip in the Jordan River. Tell him to dip 7 times and he'll be healed. Easy enough, right? Naaman says, what? The old muddy, dirty Jordan? Aren't the rivers of Abana and far, far much greater than the Jordan River? You what? You want me to go to the Jordan? And his servant said, Master, if he'd asked you some great thing, you'd have done it. But he told you something simple. How many are glad the gospel is the simplicity? It's just a simple gospel. There's not 10 steps to your freedom. There's not 5 steps to confessing your healing. There's not 14 classes to get you where you need to go. I believe in the power of God that can move right here, right now. When we respond to the voice of God, he meets us where we are, and he says, dip 7 times. Hallelujah. If you dip once, you don't see nothing. You dip twice. How many know you got to keep going until you see something happen? How many know sometimes you got to make a bold move? Sometimes you got to respond, and it's in the going that your healing comes to you. Hallelujah. And when he dipped 7 times, the scripture said, and he was made whole of his leprosy. Hallelujah. He was healed. He was made whole. Hallelujah. To change your life, sometimes you got to change your environment. Sometimes you got to change your path. Hallelujah. One of the hindrances to your miracle could be your culture. I don't mean your background or your race. I mean the culture you hang out in, the mindset. Quit thinking it's normal to stay in that condition. Why sit we here until we die? Till we die? Hallelujah. Why sit we here until we die? An attitude of gratitude, the power of the gospel in our lives. We don't have to live with spots. We don't have to live with brokenness. We don't have to live with blemishes. And we don't have to go around crying out unclean. Hallelujah. When Isaiah cried out, woe is me, woe is me, the scripture says, and the angel took a coal and put it to his lips. Hallelujah. Lord, let our mouth speak praise. Let our mouth speak gratitude. Let our mouth speak healing and power. Amen. Hallelujah. In your life, are you ready for God to make some changes in your life? Are you ready for some drastic moves? Are you ready to step out of the box of the culture that you're in or the mindset that you're in and saying, I'm not going to sit here till I die? Hallelujah. Because Lord, if you will make me whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Just lift your hands this morning and just receive. If there's something in this morning that's ministered to you, say, Lord, I receive what you're sharing in my life. I receive new vision. I receive new life. Hallelujah. I receive, Lord, healing of the mind. If you're in here today and you're struggling with issues of the mind, Lord, I speak healing to the mind in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Power and love and sound mind. Lord, I speak to inferiorities. I speak to shame and guilt. Lord, I speak to, hallelujah, every area of our life, Lord. I speak to those of us, Lord, who are in a position of wanting to make a bold move. Lord, I speak against fear. Lord, I speak against all those things that will be hindrances in our life, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I declare, Lord, that there's provision in this city and our enemy has heard a sound. Hallelujah. The sound sounds a whole lot like the voice from the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the ministry of the healing balm of Gilead in this house today. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. We receive. We receive from you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in the house and you don't know the Lord this morning, or if you need time at the altar, if you've not received Jesus as your Savior, our altars here are always open. You don't have to wait on an invitation. When you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's your moment. Seize your moment. Hallelujah. Seize your moment. Receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus.